Marlins fans, welcome to a new episode of Big Fish Small Pod, hosted by Eli Sussman on this Monday morning, as will be the case every Monday throughout the entire season. The Small Pod is presented by MPT College Consulting. Check them out at mptcollegeconsulting.com. This is going to be my final Marlins opening day roster projection. I've done a few of these on the site, fishonfirst.com, but this one, just 3 days prior to the Marlins officially setting their roster for 2024 opening day, a quick rundown of the 26 players that I think are going to get spots and kind of some thoughts about how it is that these players actually fit together, how they complement one another, and what this team may be missing, at least for the early portion of the 2024 season.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
On the position player side, we like to say that there's always some sort of competition going on. Unfortunately, in the Marlins' case, this group has been set for the better part of a month. A month ago, the Marlins signed shortstop Tim Anderson, and in alphabetical order, these are the 13 guys that I have on the hitting side making the team, in addition to T.A., Luis Arraez, John Birdie, Josh Bell, Christian Bethencourt, Vidal Brujan, Jake Berger, Jazz Chisholm Jr., Brian De La Cruz, Nick Fortes, Avisail Garcia, Nick Gordon, and Jesus Sanchez. That group has been unchanged for a month because the Marlins have been basically injury-free on this side of the ball throughout spring training. As we'll get to in a moment, that has not been the case on the pitching side. For them, there to be any wiggle room, any surprises here, there really needs to be some sort of setback or a really extremely positive or negative performance here. Otherwise, this is the group we've had. As everybody has noticed, Dane Meyers had a terrific spring training, somebody with nothing left to prove in the minors, and he's the next man up in the outfield, but he wasn't going to displace Vidal Brujan because he's out of options. He wasn't going to displace Nick Gordon, who had a very good spring training, and he's out of options. And he wasn't going to displace Avisail Garcia, who is owed $29 million over the next couple of years as part of his contract. If the Marlins were going to do something bold like that, then they would have gotten rid of Avi before spring training started, in my opinion. They weren't going to make a really bold decision just based on exhibition game numbers, despite the fact that Dane's exhibition game numbers were incredible, an OPS over 1,200, tied for the team lead in home runs, etc. But that group is pretty well set in stone. There are a couple of very troubling areas here, as we have stressed ever since they acquired Tim Anderson to be their shortstop. For all the upside he has offensively, it doesn't really help them in the field. Like, defensively, you just go down this list of guys and there aren't very many standouts whatsoever. Fortes is coming off a good year, especially in terms of blocking behind the plate, and Jazz Chisholm Jr., he got a lot better at center field as the year went on. Overall, it's hard to see a path to this group being even close to average defensively, just because at a lot of these positions, they lack mobility, like overall athleticism here. They're going to be average at best and probably below average defenders at almost every position, except for a catcher and maybe center field. And at all those other spots, you're really relying heavily on those couple standouts to make up for the deficiencies elsewhere. And I am curious to see how that plays out over the course of the season. The other one is offensively. This should be a better offensive team than last year. It's not saying much. It should be better. The one area where they'll definitely be deficient is plate discipline. There are not any super patient hitters in this group at all. There's guys that hit especially well when they have the platoon advantage. And Skip Schumacher has spoken about that, making sure that, especially among some of these lefty bats, getting them in the lineup all the time against righties and then protecting them when they're lined up to face southpaws, that will help. Even in those cases, there's just not a whole lot of patience here and selectivity. These guys are not going to work very deep counts. the path to being a solid offensive team is probably going to hinge on power hitting from Jazz staying healthy the whole year, from having complete seasons from Jake Berger and Josh Bell, from those other guys like Anderson and Arise. They'll get their fair share of singles, but they're also just not very dynamic base runners once they get on. And the missing element is those walks. I just don't see anybody in this lineup drawing maybe more than 60, 65 walks over the course of an entire season. And that is going to just reduce the opportunities that they have to score runs. It's going to be really reliant on actually hitting home runs to drive in runs, which has not been the case for Marlins teams in recent history. Now, as we switch over to the pitching side, first, the ones that are not going to be on the roster due to their situations, most of them due to injuries. We already have Sandy Alcantara on the 60-day IL as he recovers from Tommy John. And I foresee four other guys also beginning on the IL, all of them pitchers. Edward Cabrera with a shoulder, JT Chagua with a neck, Braxton Garrett with a shoulder, and Yuri Perez with his sigh of relief, only mild inflammation in his right elbow. I think Cabrera, Chagua, Garrett, Perez, all of them would just be on the 15-day IL. I think that was the big news coming out on Yuri, is that he's already resumed a throwing progression. So it's not unreasonable to think he could be back before the end of May fully stretched out as a starter, barring any setbacks. So I think only Sandy on the 60-day, those four other pitchers on the 15-day. And then there is the curious case of Huascar Brazoban, who as of this recording, he's still not in the U.S. due to visa issues. My understanding is that the likely move there will be putting him on the restricted list, which also removes him from the 40-man roster until he's actually able to report. The other complication could be if for whatever reason that's not possible and they have to simply option him to the minors. In that case, he would still take up a 40-man roster spot. I think in his situation, just based on precedent of other players that have had travel issues entering the U.S., restricted lists should be an option here. There's no suspense remaining on the starting pitching side that has already been announced. Jesus Luzardo, AJ Puck, Ryan Weathers, Trevor Rogers, Max Meyer in that order to begin the season. The concern here is pretty apparent just because of most of these guys, how they were used last year. There's a lot of questions about how they'll do deeper into their starts. How will they perform the third time through a lineup? For Puck, who has never started in the big leagues, for Ryan Weathers, who has started very unsuccessfully in the big leagues, Trevor Rogers barely pitched at all in 2023, and when he did in 2022, he struggled to get deep into games. And Max Meyer, coming off his major injury, who I think there's natural questions about whether he has a deep enough pitch mix to get him into those games. On the bullpen side, this is really where the only suspense is at this point. There are five guys that are firmly locked in: Tanner Scott, Andrew Nardi, Anthony Bender, George Soriano, Sixto Sanchez. Very brief shout out to Soriano, who quietly was incredible this spring. 9 2/3 scoreless innings and barely allowed any base runners. I think he could be working in high leverage situations this year. That leaves three more spots. 13-man pitching staff, already have five starters, five relievers, final three spots. I feel pretty confident about Declan Cronin. He's somebody that has stood out even before the spring games began. He made a pretty early impression that despite kind of having very unremarkable velocity, that his fastball is hard to hit, and his results in spring were overall pretty good. So I think a pretty high degree of confidence that Cronin is going to get one of these spots. So it's really three guys for two spots to fill out this bullpen in low leverage and long relief situations. Anthony Maldonado has absolutely nothing left to prove in AAA. I think the only question is whether they want to hold him down for a little bit in order to play some service time games and get a additional year of club control if they hold him back for the first few weeks of the regular season. But he's ready, and I think given the other injuries to this bullpen, that kind of by default he's deserving of moving into one of these spots. And then there has to be at least one conventional long man here. And that's Brian Hoeing or Vladimir Gutierrez or both. So that's the decision here between Maldonado, Hoeing, Gutierrez, two of those three getting on the roster. Now, due to the questions about how long the starters are going to go deep into games, I wouldn't be surprised if they go with two long guys. They go with Brian Hoeing, who did that job for a lot of last year, and Vladimir Gutierrez, who used to be a starting pitcher, who has a fairly deep pitch mix, who has been relatively stretched out during spring training games. I wouldn't be surprised if it's Hoeing and Gutierrez in place of Maldonado. Gutierrez, non-40-man player for now, but he can take that Huascar Brazoban spot, assuming that Brazoban goes on the restricted list. If for whatever reason that 40-man spot does not open up, then maybe it's Hoeing and Maldonado, and Gutierrez reluctantly accepts an assignment to AAA. But that's kind of the question around Gutierrez, is whether he'll take that assignment if offered to it. Which of those guys do they want to keep stretched out as a starter in the minors, perhaps? Maybe Gutierrez. Maybe they want to give Hoeing one more opportunity to be a starting rotation depth piece and have him in AAA. So there's a lot of volatility there. The choices, the prediction that I went here is that Gutierrez and Maldonado get those final two bullpen spots. So a super quick rundown here. On the hitting side, Anderson, Arise, Birdie, Bell, Bethencourt, Brujan, Berger, Chisholm, De La Cruz, Fortes, Garcia, Gordon, and Sanchez. On the pitching side, Lizardo, Puck, Weathers, Rogers, and Meyer as starters. Scott, Nardi, Bender, Soriano, Sixto, Cronin, Gutierrez, and Maldonado as relievers. This has been Big Fish Small Pod with Eli Sussman, presented by MPT College Consulting. What do you think about that projection here? You can comment directly on the site if you want to share your own 26-man forecast entering opening day. Either way, we are so close to the real games beginning when our best coverage is ahead of us. We appreciate everybody for the support. Go Fish.